What's going on, guys? Zach from the Wrestling Delicious Podcast here, and welcome to episode 390 of the YLP Podcast. So glad to have you guys here with me on this fine Saturday, and I hope you're enjoying your day, your night, your afternoon, and your evening, wherever you may be, wherever you are in the world. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode of the podcast, and as always, I greatly and truly appreciate it. It is Saturday, May 11th, 2024. Hope you guys had a fantastic week. Hope you guys had a fantastic Cinco de Mayo weekend. Hope you guys didn't get too messed up, and hope you guys had a good amount of margaritas. As of course, may the 4th be with you. Hope you enjoyed the 5th, and of course, some of y'all had to deal with the revenge of the 6th. If you had noticed, no intro for this week's episode of the YLP Podcast, because for some odd effing reason, Spotify for Podcasters is just starting to act goofy, so we had to go to different avenues. We'll figure it out as we go, we adapt, we grow as we do, and all this stuff, and I'm feeling this. I don't know if y'all heard this, John. Tommy Richmond, Million Dollar Baby, it slaps. Been feeling it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Hope you guys had a fantastic week. Hope it's been good to you. But let us get into the swing of things, because everything I wanted to say in the intro, I'm pretty much going to say here. I have to say, turn this down a little bit. Want to make sure y'all hear my voice. And I have to say, before we get into the news of the week, je t'aimerai pour toujours, Leon. I will love you forever, Leon. Y'all did us so proud. And I'm not saying this as a WWE. I'm saying this as a fan, a professional wrestling, period. I'm just saying this as a fan of professional wrestling. I could not be more proud of what Leon did for Backlash. Again, je t'aimerai pour toujours, Leon. I will love you forever. I will love you forever. Y'all have a very special place in my heart. And my God, did y'all show up and show the F out for WWE. You know what I'm saying? Y'all did the damn thing. Y'all just did it. And I can, like I said, I am in awe. I am just in pure awe of what the people of Lyon did for Backlash. Grant, yeah, I mean, yeah, there was reports coming out saying, you know, company hit all-time lows, all that shit. I could give a fuck less what Dave Meltzer has to talk about. Feel me? Dave Meltzer don't run this podcast. Yours truly does. But man, oh man, did they show up and show out. Man, oh man, did y'all show up and show out for the WWE for Cinco de Mayo weekend. I cannot be more prouder of y'all. I cannot be happier with what y'all did and all that good stuff. I could just not be more prouder, to be brutally honest. Like, this was that kind of, this was the weekend. This was like that one show everybody was looking forward to, like, kind of looking forward to just to see how, what would happen after WrestleMania 40. And to be brutally honest, like I said, I'm not going to give you all my thoughts here in this little bit, because we're going to, of course, do the news of the week in just a moment. But if we're being brutally honest, this was a damn good show. A damn good show that we're going to talk about in just a moment. And I just could not be happier with how they showed up, how y'all showed up on May 4th, 2024. But before we get into the fun stuff, of course, we got to talk about the news of the week. And I might get copyrighted for this, and I do not care. I thought that would have been a better actual theme song, to be brutally honest. That kind of hurt my feelings a little bit. Sometimes you just try to do something cool, and sometimes it just blows up in your face. Sometimes. Let's try again, shall we? Let's try this again. You know what I'm saying? We're gonna get it right. Like I said, we're learning, we're growing. Let's see. Let's try this again. Take two. Let's get into the news of the week. All right, let us start as we get over to WrestlingInc.com. Okay, hold on. Yeah, shut up. Shut up. Everyone, shut up. Nope, we're not doing that. It happens in real time, you know what I'm saying? But let us get into the news of the week as we begin over on WrestlingInc.com. Let me make sure I got my nice little Zenni glasses over here with the blue light blockers. That is not an endorsement. I'm just saying, a very solid cheap pair of reading glasses here that I use for laptop purposes and all that. Like I said, this is not a sponsored post. This is not sponsored. I'm just saying, Zenni is the shit, and I got these things for like what, $30, and I look damn good in them. You've probably seen a couple posts of me on Instagram back in the day, but let us start as we head over to WrestlingInc.com. Like I said. And let's see what y'all be thinking about Saudi Arabia bits. Of course, if you have any questions, comments, opinions, or concerns, or anything about you want to say about this week's episode or any of the other 389 episodes of the YLP podcast, don't hesitate to, of course, have a voice message over on podcasters.spotify.com/younglionsperspective and podcasters.spotify/wrestleaddictradio, as well as you can send me an email over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. Let us begin with the news. Saudi Arabia reportedly hoping to land these major WWE PLEs. This is from Julian D'Alessandro. Since 2018, WWE has hosted 10 premium live events in Saudi Arabia, including shows like Crown Jewel, Night of Champions, and Elimination Chamber. However, a reported update surrounding Saudi Arabia's existing agreement with WWE could see more major PLEs hosted in the country. WWE is currently 6 years into their 10-year agreement with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, which already looks likely to get extended due to the COVID-19 pandemic. According to ESPN's Mike Coppinger, Saudi's current chairman of the General Entertainment Authority, Turki Alal-Sheikh, my apologies if I butchered your last name, my brother, is looking to bring larger events like the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania to Saudi Arabia. Coppinger explained more details about the possible agreement on X by saying, "At Turki Alal-Sheikh tells ESPN an enhancement to Saudi Arabia's existing agreement with WWE will be announced later this month. Specifically, Alal-Sheikh is looking to bring January's annual Royal Rumble or WWE's top event, WrestleMania, to Saudi Arabia. Since 2018, WWE has held at least one of its premium live events in Saudi Arabia. WWE first staged live events in the kingdom in 2014. On May 25th, 1 week after the Tyson Fury Alexander Usyk Undisputed Heavyweight Championship boxing match in Riyadh, WWE will hold King and Queen of the Ring in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. WWE hosted the Greatest Royal Rumble for the first PLE to take place in Saudi Arabia back in 2018, making it the biggest rumble of all time, featuring 50 participants entering the match. However, it appears the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is now interested in hosting the traditional Royal Rumble event as well as WrestleMania in their country, meaning if this new possible new agreement comes to fruition, WWE could bring both events outside of North America for the first time in history. As Coppinger noted, this enhancement to Saudi Arabia's existing agreement with WWE will be announced later this month, which could align with WWE's next PLE in Saudi Arabia, King and Queen of the Ring, on May 25th. Now, usually I don't look at the comments of these articles, but I want to see if they actually pull up. Or it just might take forever, I'm not sure. Either way, let me talk to you for a minute. Now, we've been talking about this, and by we, I mean me, and by we, I mean you, listener. I've been discussing the Saudi Arabia bit for the longest time now, and we've talked about the whole Jamal Khashoggi deal. We've talked about a lot of blood money going into this. And for the most part, WWE's history of shows in Saudi Arabia have been complete and utter dog shit. And if you think we're lying, go back and watch Crown Jewel 2018. No, 2019 and 2020, let's be honest. We could watch that. We could watch both, and both sucked. Goldberg Undertaker, Goldberg the Fiend, trash. Their track record of Saudi shows has not been good. Sure, it brought, eyes to the product in Saudi Arabia. But of course, we also had the little bit of an incident where Saudi Arabia kept WWE's planes on the ground. Thus, we had the NXT invasion for that. Saudi Arabia, we thank you for that one because that was much appreciated. At the same time, though, at the same time, like I said, WWE's track record with the Saudi shows have been quite dog shit. Let's be real. Dog shit. Since 2014, dog shit. I don't think before maybe this year, maybe the year before that, we can honestly say that the Saudi shows were actually good. 2022, maybe, and I'm being kind of generous in that fact. Being kind of generous. But to have a WrestleMania and or a Royal Rumble in Saudi, not a fan. But it will bring more eyes to the product. I don't care. I honestly don't give a shit. I really don't care. Let's be real about this. Let's be real about all of this. Again, they're just now getting into their groove. But to have a WrestleMania and or a Royal Rumble, no. Not a fan. As a person who A, respects WrestleMania for what it is, B, whose favorite of the Big Four is Royal Rumble, because it's literally my birthday weekend. I'm not trying to fucking see no Royal Rumble in Saudi Arabia. Do your crown jewels, do your, King and Queen of the Rings there, do your B shows there. Ain't no fucking way WrestleMania is gonna work. Not for me, bro. Not for me. Hold on. Actually, let's do a question here. Let's talk on our let's go to our laptop here. What time? Miss Scusi. Okay, so we're literally what? So we're looking 9 hours ahead. If my math serves me right, it's 1:44 a.m. in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia right now. You mean to tell me that if we was trying to do a WrestleMania at 7 p.m. their time, right? We're talking 11. Oh my God, 11 o'clock my time? That's 11 o'clock Eastern. 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. 9 a.m. where I live in Colorado in the Mountain Time Zone. Now, as much as I would enjoy breakfast as much as anybody, I'm not trying to fucking watch WrestleMania at 9 a.m., bruv. I prefer to sleep. I'm 36. I value sleep more than most people. Royal Rumble, same shit. You mean to tell me I'm trying to watch a PLE at 9 a.m. in the fucking morning live? Nah, fam, we good on that. So basically, you're gonna tell me I'm going to have to watch it after. Some people work on Saturdays. Some people have shit to do on the weekends. It's called errands. Some people have family. Some people have family functions and shit. Not me personally, but you get the point. Ain't nobody gonna be trying to watch. I mean, so I mean, if you live in the East Coast, it's brunch for y'all. That's Ricky, Kay, Will. I think I'm trying to think. I think that would be considered Fretz too. And then Nate is Central. Again, I'm the furthest west out of all of WrestleLadies Radio. That includes Mance too. But yeah, no. Nah, I'm good on that. I'm totally good on that. No. Keep your you can have the crown jewels. You can have King and Queen of the Ring. You can have Super Showdowns. You can have all that. But ain't no fucking way on God's green earth is Mr. YOP himself going to be watching WrestleMania at 9 a.m. No. No, that would be foolish on WWE's end to allow that to take place. You got to consider logistics. If you're like, okay, let's say I'm still at my job, WrestleMania 2025, right? I wouldn't be able to watch it until I got home, literally 5:30. Fuck out of here. Royal Rumble, same thing. Absolutely not. Absolutely fucking not. Not gonna happen. Not happening. That time difference is way too much for someone in the United States. Even like even for London in that matter, even for the UK, Europe in that matter. I mean, they could probably do that. But in the grand scheme of things, absolutely not here in the States. No. Keep that in the States. London, we talked about that last week, of course. We talked about WrestleMania in London. I could rock with that. That's an afternoon niceness right there. I like that. That's nice. 2, 3 o'clock, have a little lunch. You know what I'm saying? A little lunch with the squad. You know what I'm saying? But if you mean to fucking tell me I'm gonna have to watch a WrestleMania or a Royal Rumble at 9 fucking a.m. You're out of your fucking mind. Absolutely not. We will not be doing that. No. It could be 9, 11, and it doesn't matter. No. No. At that point, I would just end the agreement and just, finish up the last 4 years and tell Saudi Arabia to go fuck themselves. I hope you enjoyed your decade of whatever. Got me fucked up. WWE should not do that. No SummerSlam. No Big Four. No Big Four. Absolutely not. No Big Four events. No Big Four events in Saudi Arabia. They've got Crown Jewel. They've got their King and Queen of the Ring. They've had their Super Showdowns. You can have those. WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, Survivor Series, SummerSlam. You do not touch the Big Four. Big Four is not even Big Four to me personally. It's persona non grata in Saudi Arabia. That's just on everything. That just makes no fucking sense to have that shit. That shit does not fly with me. Like yeah, goddamn mind. Seriously? Why even WWE would consider it, I don't know. Why they would consider it, I don't understand. It shouldn't even be a thought. It shouldn't even be a single thought. No fucking way. What's the point? I mean, before the Triple H era truly began, yeah, those shows were dog shit. Bad track record. Again, Jamal Khashoggi the ordeal, that was a whole shit show in and of itself. Trust me, look that one up. The whole, Saudi Arabia grounding WWE, as the superstars weren't allowed to go back into that shit. Nah, fam, we good. We're good on that. We're good on that. I don't need any of that bit. No, for what? Oh, mommy, I'm just lighting my candle. Not saying I mean. Got that for Christmas. That's my roommate, by the way. That's neither here nor there. A little bit of ambiance goes a long way, I guess. I'm going to finish up with this. If they consider it, if they even think about it, even if it's thought, I'm cussing Triple H out. I've cussed out. I've sent my I've aired out my grievances on Vince McMahon. I've aired out my grievances in AEW. I've aired out my grievances in NXT, and I will not hesitate to do it on Paul Levesque. Try me. We'll see what happens. Anyway, let's move on to some happier news that went down because, as we've spoken about, new ad nauseum at this point, to be brutally honest, we were going to find out somewhere down the line where WrestleMania 41 was going to take place. And finally, at the Kentucky Derby, of all situations, we found out where exactly WWE is going to hold their WrestleMania in 2025. Viva Las Vegas. That's right, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time since WrestleMania 9. There's a reason they haven't gone back to Las Vegas since WrestleMania 9. We'll talk about that in a moment. WrestleMania returning to Sin City. This is from USA Today. WWE taking marquee event to Las Vegas in 2025. This is from Jordan Mendoza. WrestleMania is headed to the Sin City. WrestleMania 41 will be held at Allegiant Stadium, home of the Las Vegas Raiders, and WWE announced on Saturday, bringing the flagship event back to Las Vegas for the first time in more than 30 years. WrestleMania 41 will again be a two-day event, which began in 2020, but will also take place later in the calendar. The event itself will be April 19th and 20th on Easter. It's an unusual and rather late announcement for WWE, which typically announced the location for next year's WrestleMania during WrestleMania week. Yet, no announcement was made leading up or during WrestleMania 40 on April 6th and 7th. There will be some differences in the past WrestleManias with the 2025 edition. Most notable, it will be taking place later than typical on the calendar. WWE President Nick Khan said that at the SBJ World Congress of Sports on April 17th that WWE planned to move away from hosting the event the same weekend of the Final Four, which takes place the first weekend of April and had taken place at the same time as WrestleMania the past 3 years. Now, why did WWE choose Las Vegas over Minneapolis for WrestleMania 41? The decision to hold WrestleMania 41 in Las Vegas was expected as reports began to circulate about WWE's desire to bring it close to the Las Vegas Strip. Khan also said at the SBJ World Congress of Sports that Las Vegas was among the sites being considered for the event, and it wouldn't be held at an outdoor East Coast stadium. We reported on this a few weeks ago, so we already knew this ahead of time. WrestleMania 40, of course, in Philadelphia, took place in frigid weather. Now, as a person who was born and raised in the East Coast, I wouldn't say the weather was frigid, my boy. You just a bitch. Nah, I'm kidding. oh, Ricky's gonna kill me for that one. I know. No, Nick Khan needs to stop the little punk and deal with it. Wear a jacket. Maybe wear a diaper. I don't know. But see, as a person from the East Coast who's now living in Colorado, and dealing, living in sea level, I dealt with more nonsensical weather here than I ever have in New Jersey. I promise you that much. Frigid weather, bruv? Nah, you good. Punk. So mean today. What? I had a good leg workout today. Don't judge me. However, before Las Vegas emerged as a leading contender to host WrestleMania 41, it was widely expected next year's event would take place at U.S. Bank Stadium in Minneapolis, especially since it's an indoor stadium that wouldn't have to deal with any possible cold conditions. Minnesota Sports and Events President Wendy Blackshaw told the Star Tribune that Minneapolis was in the running for WrestleMania 41, but new ownership resulted in it not being selected. Quote, "We were informed by WWE that Minnesota would not host WrestleMania in 2025 due to a change in direction by new ownership. Although disappointed, we are in discussions with WWE about future events in Minnesota. We are optimistic that Minnesota will host WWE events here in the future," end quote. Now, of course, like I said earlier, WrestleMania 41 will be the first WrestleMania held in the Las Vegas area since 93, when WrestleMania 9 took place at Caesar's Palace, which was the first time WWE held the event outdoors. Now, we'll get into it in a second. For most of its beginnings, WrestleMania was held in arenas, but it has taken place in stadiums since WrestleMania 23 in 2007, with the exception of WrestleMania 36 due to COVID-19. Allegiant Stadium has hosted a premium live event in its short history. SummerSlam 2021 took place at the indoor stadium and was the first professional wrestling event to happen there. The attendance of that event was 51,326, but it is expected to be a bigger crowd for WrestleMania 41. The stadium has a capacity of 65,000 for NFL games and will likely have more seats than SummerSlam with a high chance of selling out. WrestleMania 41 marks another premium sporting event to be held at Allegiant Stadium, as Super Bowl 58 was played there, and of course the Chiefs won that shit, and everybody's still mad about that. With WrestleMania 41 in Las Vegas, WWE will also have its other shows, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, Stand and Deliver, and the 2025 Hall of Fame ceremony in the city. The location for the events has not been announced yet. WrestleMania 40, of course, saw The Rock return to a ring, and Cody Rhodes capturing the undisputed WWE Championship. We don't call it the WWE Universal Championship anymore, thank God, over Roman Reigns. So, let's go back. Let's take our minds back to WrestleMania 9. That show is ass. And what most would consider the worst WrestleMania ever. Now, you do have a case for WrestleMania 27, WrestleMania 29. 32 was quite dog shit. 35 was dog shit. I don't care what anybody says. Granted, yes, all the three things we wanted, Kofi, Seth, and Becky, they all won. But that show was 9 fucking hours. Okay? And it was technically the legitimate first ever two-night WrestleMania. By accident. Got me fucked up. Anyway, but no, WrestleMania 9 is heralded as one of the worst WrestleManias ever. So, in essence, this is WWE's way, this is WWE's chance to really rectify 9. Will it, I mean, 9 was complete, 9 was dog shit, good God. There's a reason many people haven't watched it since then. And some people, unfortunately, had to watch it for research. It be like that sometimes. But let's keep it a stack. This is WWE's chance to literally rectify what they should have done at 9. But 9 was also the fuck you, Brett. And also fuck you, Hogan, because if you watch the ending of WrestleMania 9, Brett loses to Yoko. Hogan comes in, tries to save the fucking day, then beats Yoko, becomes a WWE champion. And then 10 had to be the apology for 9. So we could have Brett Yoko again, and then Brett actually could have actually got his moment in the sun and actually beat Yoko for the title. So yeah, 10 had to be the apology for 9. Again, I haven't watched 9 in many a moon. And I don't plan on watching it anytime soon. 9 can go fuck itself. That was a joke. That was probably the dumbest WrestleMania. Like one, it is in my top 5, 100%. It is in my top 5, along with 27, 29, 32, and 35. Garbage. Absolute garbage. Especially 32. What the fuck was that? 35, I mean, granted, it was in my home state. You know what I'm saying? But that show was a dog walk. That show was a bullshit dog walk. 9 fucking hours. And I watched every second of it. And I should have gone to bed 2 hours prior. But I have a podcast, and it'd be like that sometimes. Feel me? That show sucked. 9 sucked. So basically, this is kind of... So since 10 was the apology for 9, 41 will also have to be the apology for 9 to show what an actual WrestleMania is supposed to be. Feel me? Now, here's the thing, too. Yes, I am quite pleased that Las Vegas is going to get next year's WrestleMania. And hopefully, if I get my finances together and get to do it right, I will be at WrestleMania 41 next year. So that is the goal. I've stated this on the podcast many a moon, many, many times. And I would like to be at WrestleMania 41 for both nights. From what I've been told and what I've actually researched, if you do have a hotel on the Strip, it's literally a 15-minute walk from Strip to Allegiant Stadium. Quite nice, if you ask me. So yeah, that's going to be the motion. Hopefully I can make it happen. And if I do, I spoke with Ricky off air about this. We've spoken about it. And when he the once he when, and mind you, I was at work when Ricky sent me the news. Shout out to Ricky one time for the one time for informing me about the news. When we found out it was Vegas, I could not have been happier. I think it made the most sense for 41 to take place at Vegas, even though Tiffany Stratton would say otherwise. She is from Minnesota after all. But in the words of Mike Tomlin, we do not care. We do not care. I'm here to tell you right now, we don't care. We don't care. It was the right move to like, especially after Philly, Vegas had to be the move. I mean, granted, if you, as I said, as I said many a times, as we have been leading up to this moment, if it was going to be at Minneapolis, hopefully they would have done it in Vegas next year. Now that it's official that it's going to be in Vegas, I hope that they do it in Minneapolis next year, because I think that'd be a cool move for Minnesota. I think that would be a nice move. To be like, okay, you didn't get it this year. Ownership kind of was just like, nah, and they were like, nah. Now, getting that out of the way, and all that being said, the memes had already been coming out. The memes were already out once we found out Vegas was going to be the motion, was going to be the wave, was going to be the move for WrestleMania 41. You mean to tell me that we're going to have Easter and 420 in this? Oh, Lord Jesus Christ. Whoo, man. Easter. Now, Easter we can now as a biracial brother, half black, half white, of course. Easter weekend is a movie, because Easter weekend is just a movie, as black folks. Sometimes we be going out on Easter weekend, but now you have Easter weekend. You mean to tell me we're gonna have Easter weekend? Easter weekend and 420 in the same weekend. And last time I checked, the green effervescence is also legal in Nevada, medically, medicinally, and recreationally. Weed sales are going to be through the motherfucking roof. For that was like legitimately my first thought when I saw the meme. Like, you mean to tell me we're gonna have 420 and Easter? Some people ain't gonna make it. Some people ain't gonna fucking make it. Feel me? Sometimes somebody ain't gonna make it. I'm gonna be all right though. I'm gonna keep it kosher. But like I said, hopefully I'm able to actually save the funds needed to have tickets for Mania, get the hotel, all that shit. Because I mean, as a person living in the Denver metropolitan area, it's a 2.5 hour flight for me from here to Vegas. So the flight ain't gonna cost that much. And hopefully, if I do it right, the hotel room probably won't be as much either. I will get, because knowing, when it comes to hotels, I'm not really bougie. But if I get a nice deal months prior to, that would be lit as fuck. But but yes, the goal. But yes, I have stated, I believe, ever since I moved out to Colorado for the longest time now, if there's a WrestleMania in Vegas, I got to go, because they're never gonna do one in Denver. They're never gonna do one in Denver. They're never gonna do one in Denver, and it bothers me to no end that they'll never do one in Denver. Bothers me to no end. But this is about as close as I can get. Now, given the fact that Ricky is a Raiders fan, I don't know if he's gonna be going this time around this year. Next year, I don't know. We'll see. But yeah, it's gonna be lit. Either way, but yeah, Easter weekend. Oh Jesus, somebody ain't gonna make it. Some people might just die. Some people might just go meet God. And I don't mean that in a mean-spirited way. I'm just saying they're gonna get too turned up and it's gonna be bad. But yes, we now it's now official. WrestleMania 41, Las Vegas, Nevada, 2025, Easter weekend. Lord help us. We'll finish out the news of the week on this bit here. And I've seen this news like for a hot second, and it involves, of course, the bloodline. We love the bloodline here in the YLP realm. If you don't, I understand. I understand. All right. But let's go over to WrestleTalk.com to round out our news of the week. WWE Bloodline backstage concern revealed. A backstage concern within WWE in regards to the future of the Bloodline faction on SmackDown has now been revealed. The Bloodline has undergone several major changes on SmackDown since WrestleMania. With Tama Tonga debuting on the WWE on a SmackDown after WrestleMania, and he and Solo Sikoa kicking Jimmy Uso out of the group. The latest Bloodline member debuted at Backlash when Tonga Loa interrupted a tag team match between Tonga and Sikoa against Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, officially joining up with his brother and Solo as the new Bloodline. So far. However, despite Tonga Loa's debut, another new Bloodline member is still waiting in the wings, that being Jacob Fatu, who officially signed with WWE last month. In an update from WrestleVotes, there has been some trepidation in WWE Creative regarding Fatu's upcoming addition to the Bloodline, with the belief that his presence could outshine Solo Sikoa at this stage. They tweeted, and I quote, excuse me. Interesting tidbit here. Sources suggest that Solo Sikoa's recent aggressive streak is part of a strategy to establish him as the main force within this new phase of the Bloodline ahead of Jacob Fatu's debut. However, some trepidation remains within Creative over fear that Fatu's presence could outshine Solo at this stage. And it's understandable. It's fully understandable. But the way I see it, because don't get it twisted. Do not get it twisted. Jacob Fatu is an absolute beast. That man is a big boy, but he wrestles like a small boy somehow. And dude's got, and mind you, he's a former MLW World Heavyweight Champion. Had one of the dopest feuds I've ever seen with Alexander Hammerstone when he was part of Contra. An indie darling all over the country and the world. And what I presume to be a wonderful addition to Bloodline 2.0, right? I can understand why they would believe Jacob could outshine Solo. Easily, too. Man can talk. He's got hella charisma. When you tell somebody in a promo, like, don't mess with me, like, I can really fight, and I'll dog walk your bitch ass. I'm not fighting you. I'm not coming near you. I won't be your best friend. We homies. You know what I'm saying? But ain't no way. But yeah, so it could be understandable with the fact that, you know what I'm saying, Jacob could outshine Solo. But Solo, since we've seen him, you know, begin to come up, has been doing quite well for himself. Let's not get it twisted. Solo went from not talking and just whooping ass to now talking and still whooping everyone's ass. I think Jacob would be a wonderful addition to the Bloodline. And honestly, the way Solo Sikoa's character goes, sometimes you don't got to speak to make impact. Minus the whole, you know, losing his consequences and all that stuff. Him maybe, you know, 0-34 since his John Cena victory. But we ain't going to talk about that. We will not be talking about that. But what I will say is, I can understand the trepidation. Jacob Fatu is damn good. Jacob Fatu can talk. Jacob Fatu can cut a damn good promo. And he can beat your ass in the ring. He is good. He's a definite 5-2 player. And would be a fantastic addition to the Bloodline. It would be perfect. It would round out proper. You know what I'm saying? And honestly, you don't got to have Jacob speak for a hot minute. Let Solo speak. You know what I'm saying? Let Solo speak for a little bit. Jacob Fatu is ready to talk. He'll talk. Tama Tonga ain't talking. Tonga Loa don't talk. You know what I'm saying? Let Solo Sikoa be the leader of Bloodline 2.0. It's his time. We've been waiting on this for a hot second. We've been trying to figure it out. Solo's the new guy now. The prophecy had already been stated. When Roman goes, you know, Solo's basically next in line to become the tribal chief anyway. So he was already assuming his role. Air quotes around assuming his role, of course. But I think WWE is understanding of this. They understand that, you know, Jacob Fatu is an absolute beast in the ring and on the stick. And so the trepidation is there, but I think WWE is going to navigate it as best as they possibly can and try their best to ensure that when Jacob Fatu does come into the fold, it is going to be lit. It is going to be a fantastic way to have Bloodline 2.0 and all that good stuff. But I just think, you know, like, again, trepidation is there, but I think WWE is going to navigate it as best as they possibly can, to the best of their ability, and they're going to make it work. As well they should. I believe in them, as well we should. Bloodline ain't going nowhere. We're now in the top of the seventh. Let's act accordingly, shall we? But that's going to conclude our news of the week segment. Now, usually, we would go into a commercial break and all that stuff. We're going to keep it going. We're going to keep it pimping. And before we get into our Backlash review, of course, who would I be as a member of WrestleLetics Radio if I didn't speak on, of course, my fellow squadron, my peoples, my team of Wrestle Addict Radio. You feel me? Let us talk about the week that is Wrestle Addict Radio Tuesdays. Start your week off right. Yes, you get Sunday and Monday off. Tuesday, you get a double dose. A double dose of war. Tuesdays, brace for impact. Yes, Nate the Effing Great, former MCW World Heavyweight Champion, Nate the Effing Great to be exact, discusses the yesteryears of TNA wrestling with his Brace for Impact podcast. Let him be your Sherpa through the yesteryear. That is Total Nonstop Action Wrestling. And I spoke with him about this because I wanted to confirm what he was at for my spot. And we are still in the midst of the main event, Mafia storyline. Jenna Maresca was there for a hot second. Jesus Christ. We were getting into the dark times at this point, and that's about as far as I'm going to take it. But if TNA wrestling is your bag and you want to learn about the early years of TNA, again, Nate the Effing Great has got you with the Brace for Impact podcast. Later on that night, though, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 5 p.m. Standard Pacific Standard Time, 6 here in the Mountain Time, is none other than the Kings of the Rings podcast live on YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch. Twitch, yes. Of course, our esteemed host, our general manager, King Ricky Rose, Will Terror Shook, and the legend that is K motherfucking Fade, with the soon to be World Tag Team Champions Boris and Frankie Tortellini. Yes, I am talking about a corgi and a lizard. I said it. What's happening? If you love pop culture talk, if you love sports entertainment talk, if you love all that good stuff, if you love professional wrestling talk, this is your show. It is a good time. Again, I've been a guest on that show in the first episode of 2024, talking about Wrestle Kingdom. And this past episode, of course, they brought up BBL Drizzy and used it as their intro. I was not going to do that. I know about what's going on, but I'm not going to bring that up. But that shit was hilarious to see all three of them just like, you know, A, you vibe out the BBL Drizzy, and B, shit talk at its finest. Oh, man, it was great. Again, I don't catch every episode because, you know, life things. But yes, I would definitely, it is definitely worth the watch. It is definitely worth checking out every Tuesday night live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube. Thursday, you get the audio and the video versions of the show itself, just so you guys know. I had to make sure I got my info correct. You know, I had to do my due diligence for y'all. So yes, Thursday will be the, Tuesday is the live show. Thursday, the audio and the video version drops for that week's episode. We head into Friday. Start off your weekend the only way you should know how, with the Fretzomania podcast. If you are a fan of the Ruthless Aggression era, our neighbor to the north, our man Traeger God himself, Traeger God himself, Mr. Fretz, brings you in and shows you through the history of the Ruthless Aggression era. Sans, you know, of course, discussing pay-per-views that recently just happened. But yes, he is in his Ruthless Aggression bag right now. He also went through the Attitude Era as well. And so if you are a Ruthless Aggression fan, Ruthless Aggression Era fan like myself, this is the show for you every single Friday, dropping on Wrestle Addict Radio. And then, of course, you got yours truly, Mr. YLP himself, giving you all the news of the week and everything else that's fit for me to talk about here on the YLP podcast, dropping every Saturday at midnight, Mountain Standard Time. Know your time zones, know your math, understand what time you need to do it, because this is Wrestle Addict Radio, the cure for the common wrestling podcast. Let us get into our Backlash review. And as we always do, even though this may not be, you know, how we normally do it. We still gonna do it right. Backlash Français. I have to say, I'm about to, let me about up. Just let me vibe. Just vibe with me. Backlash France. What a movie. It was. What a movie it was. Dare I say, this felt like an NXT takeover to me. It really did. Only 5 matches on the card. So you're thinking in your head, you know, well, A, we've been 5-0. We went 5-0. So that makes us 35-14 on the year for our predictions. And the goal, of course, to get 100. I want 100. I want 100 dubs on the board. I want it by any means necessary. And I think we can get it because I know some shit. Beside that fact, okay? Besides that fact being an actual thing. Dude, this was a show. This was an absolute show. And I could not have been happier with how... I'm sorry, I can do fade out there. I could not have been happier with how the show went as a whole, but also the crowd. Now, there's so many moments. There are so many moments. Just from the crowd alone. Right? You had the crowd singing, you know, Cody Rhodes' theme song. You had the crowd opening up the show, singing Randy Orton's theme song. You know what I'm saying? You can talk about Jey Uso's entrance, which honestly, here's the crazy thing. Here's the crazy thing about Backlash, right? I didn't do the YLP podcast show last year, and that is my fault. And that's my apologies. But my moment of the year for 2023 was Bad Bunny's entrance at Backlash 2023. Jey Uso is the leader in the clubhouse right now for moment of the year for 2024's moment of the year for the YLP Podcast Awards. Feel me? That entrance was special. That entrance was absolutely special. You would think. You would honestly think that at some point the crowd was going to die down. Thank you. Are you fucking kidding me? That was just Cody and AJ. Like, as a fan from the United States, we should all be ashamed of ourselves. Let's be real. We should all be ashamed of ourselves that the best chant we have had is what chants? Now, don't get me wrong. We still do it in the Discord. What? You know what I'm saying? But as a American professional wrestling fan, I am this A pissed me off and made me happy at the same time. You know what I'm saying? Because of the fact that, excuse me, because of the fact that we should be at the forefront. Like the Jey Uso entrance, bruv. Like they had the Fireflies out, all that shit. Like we should have been doing that. What are we doing? European crowds are kicking our ass. That's how we do it. That's how we're doing it in 2024. Okay. And all we still have is a what chant. I watched the Chisel of the Diamonds video on it, where he challenged pretty much all of us as American wrestling fans to actually do better. The what chant is what? Almost as old as me, kind of ish, sort of. We have to do better as American wrestling fans. Because if that's what the European faithful are going to give us, don't be surprised. And there's a reason. There's a reason 4 out of the next 5, I think including Backlash, are outside of the United States. How fucked is that? If you were an American wrestling fan and you saw what took place at Backlash, and you were just like, fuck. If that wasn't your first reaction, if you didn't get chills from what France was doing, from what Lyon France was doing, I don't think you're a legit wrestling fan. Throughout the entire show, I got chills. We had Kevin. We had the Randy Orton's theme song being sung. We had Bayley's chant, would you be my girl chants going. Jey Uso, the entrance of the freaking night. Everybody's still going bonkers for Bianca and Jay when they won the tag team championships. We'll get that into a moment. Cody Rhodes, AJ Styles, need I say more? There's few times. There's a handful of shows. As far back as possibly Brooklyn. The first takeover, Brooklyn. Where the crowd can honestly, like, we can honestly say, crowd was lit. And that's probably the only time I can think of right now that the crowd, at least in the States, weren't going apeshit. Feel me? And that was TakeOver Brooklyn. And that crowd was the energy was there all night from beginning to end. And I can't say, besides Mania, maybe, but if we're talking about like outside of the big four, it's hard for me to, now I'm sure I'll probably get roasted by y'all, you know, with the video, with the messages and whatnot, but at least to my knowledge, I can't really think of, like, I can think of Backlash 2020, Backlash last year, Clash in the Castle last year, where else, this year's Backlash, Brooklyn Takeover, Takeover Brooklyn, the first one. I know there's one other one, but it doesn't come to my mind. But yeah, we're just gonna throw that out there. Lyon, the city of Lyon, y'all were the MVP. Y'all were the MVP of Backlash. No, not it's really now. Take the crowd out of the way. If they were just a regular crowd, this show was still good. But when you give me a hot crowd like that, That's what makes it a great show. So much so that I almost. We're still in consideration, of course, because I usually do this on the fly as I talk about it. This is about as close to an A-plus show as you're going to get in 2024. Now, mind you, if you've listened to the YLP podcast for any period of time, you can back me up on this. If you're a day one, whether you're a day one or you just came into the fold a little while back, never in the history of the YLP podcast have I ever given a show an A-plus show. Because that would designate that is Mr. YLP's perfect show and the standard that all shows must follow. I have never given a show an A plus for that reason, because, well, perfection is like kind of like chasing the dragon if you're on some awesome in some interesting substances. But I did consider the giving this an A plus, and maybe as we go into further into the review, my mood might change. We could give that. This could be the first A plus show in the history of the YLP podcast. We shall see. But let us get into it just a little bit, and then we'll kind of sort it out. But yes, we're just gonna name it right now. The MVP of Backlash was the crowd in Lyon, which is why I named this episode "Je t'aimerai pour toujours, Lyon." I will love you forever, because y'all killed that shit from beginning to end. Now, looking at this card, again, five matches on this card. This felt like a takeover. The crowd was into it, and it made it feel like a straight-up takeover. Five matches on a B show card, you're thinking in your head, are we sure we have enough time for this? I mean, this is a 3-hour show. How the fuck are we gonna make this work? They made it work. They made it work. That's all you could ask for, to be brutally honest. That's all you could ask for. They made this shit work. I could not be happier with how the result was. I was expecting this to be a good show regardless. I was not expecting it to be this. And the Bloodline with Solo Sikoa and the in-ring debut of Tama Tonga against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, turning into a tag team street fight because lâchez-vous, do whatever you want. Well done, Nick Aldis, knowing his French. And of course, me having taken French classes in high school, that part of me was just like, I like you. Of course, Fred's, I believe, knows a little bit of French as well. So I'm sure you can back me up on that. But see, this is how I see it. And I said that I've been saying this in the War Lounge for a hot minute. And if you want to join the War Lounge, of course, you can go to discord.gg/WrestleAddictRadio or head over to our Twitter @Addict_Wrestle. Hit the link tree. You can click on the Discord invite. Our esteemed general manager, King Ricky Rose, will welcome you with open arms. Introduce you to English words hard. Introduce you to all of us in the group chat. In the chat, we will say hello. Welcome you with open arms. Talk wrestling, all that good stuff. But I've been saying in the War Lounge, three simple words about the Paul Levesque era in WWE right now. They started shooting. This is not a work. This is all of what they're doing in this era right now is a shoot to Redacted McMahon. This is a shoot. Now, whether or not he wants to start a new promotion, homeboy looking haggard as shit. I have no sympathy for the man. So, they've been shooting. This is all shoot, personally, to me. But the fact that we actually had Bloodline, Sikoa and Tonga, throwing hands early with Kevin Owens and Randy Orton, referees coming out, producers coming out, all the people's coming out. All this is just like, this is not how we're gonna do this shit. Y'all want to throw down? Y'all want to throw hands? Fine. Lâchez-vous, do whatever you want. This is now a street fight. Oh, and what a street fight it was! That chair spot with Kevin Owens beating the shit out of Tonga and then setting up the chairs for a freaking brainbuster. And I said last week on Backlash, y'all were gonna see what Tama Tonga is all about. I hope y'all were impressed, because I knew about Tama because I'm a New Japan dude. So, as the resident New Japan expert, I know me some Tama Tonga. Feel me? I couldn't have been happier for Tama, and then for Tongaloa to come out towards the end of it. Now, granted, he came out late. We'll call that. You know what I'm saying? He came out late. Referee had to do it himself. It be like that sometimes. There's going to be botches happening in pro wrestling all the time, whether it be in WWE or a random indie show in freaking, damn, I was trying to think of some, in Bismarck, North Dakota? I'm about to look stupid. Hold on. Let's make sure we're, yeah, Bismarck, North Dakota. Suck it. There's going to be botches. It happens. Did it affect the ending of the match? No. So y'all can shut the hell up about that, okay? Now, for those of you who did not know, and I didn't even fucking know, Tongaloa was actually, if you remember Camacho in WWE, that was Tonga. Don't know how they made, that was basically kind of how they did the Kerwin White deal with Chavo Guerrero being somehow a bougie, I don't know. This was redacted's bag. I ain't got time for that. But yes, Tongaloa made his return to WWE for the first time since 2014, and this is the better version of Tongaloa. Gorillas of Destiny are now in WWE. And that just means I'm hoping SummerSlam we get G.O.D. versus the Usos. I need it. I need that shit to boost my adrenaline. I need that shit. I needs it. Need more of that, please. Of course, Bloodline 1. Hell of a match, though. But I am just quite pleased with the fact that, because nobody fucking knew. We didn't hear a report. We didn't hear no rumors. Everybody thought it was going to be Jacob showing up. Nah. Damn, if I actually called that, that would have been crazy. That would have been crazy. But now we got G.O.D. in WWE. If Carl Anderson was the catalyst to bring in Tama, then somewhere down the line, Tama was just like, bring my brother over too. At some point, they had to bring G.O.D. in. And it is perfect. It is absolutely perfect to have not only G.O.D. in WWE, but having G.O.D. on SmackDown. Tell me Triple H ain't going to have them gunning for the World Tag Team Championship somewhere down the line in 2024. Just going to throw it out there. Just going to throw it out there, see what sticks. Because those SmackDown Tag Team titles look quite mint, may I add. Much, I would say those are better than the Raw Tag Team Championship, the World Tag Team Championships, we're calling it now. Because we don't call that, we're going to call brands, you know what I'm talking about. But I love it. I absolutely love it. I love this. I love G.O.D. and WWE. I think this just makes the Bloodline that much better. And when eventually Jacob Fatu shows up, we'll have a full legitimate Bloodline. Now, Paul Heyman, that boy is scared of the motherfucker, ain't he? He is, you know what I'm saying? Crazy. Like this is how you know how dope WWE is now. You know what I'm saying? We got Big E talking about New Japan, CM Punk as well. We can't talk about New Japan, WWE. Things are different now. Things are different. We could say things that were considered taboo in the previous regime. We can say things like New Japan. We can say things like Bullet Club. We can say things like that now. As well we should, because fans should understand the history of these characters going into the WWE, who they were. That makes you more invested. It's like, oh, wow, they're really breaking down where they used to be. Wait, they're actually saying this person was in AEW or TNA or all this stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, help me if I didn't know New Japan from a can of paint, which would be devastating to my mental health, let's be brutally honest. And probably, and if we're being brutally honest, I wouldn't be podcasting right now if it weren't for 2016 and AJ Styles beating Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship. It is vital for a fan who doesn't know a lick about New Japan for them to understand at least a little bit about them, where they came from, where they wrestled, who they wrestled with. They even brought up Evil. House of Torture's Evil. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is wonderful shit. This helps fans get more invested. This helps fans get an idea of like where they came from, where they were prior to coming to WWE. It used to be taboo. We were in previous regimes, we weren't allowed to bring that up for fear of competition for some fucking reason. But it helps a fan, someone who doesn't know Tongaloa or Tama Tonga from a can of paint, what they were part of. Because still to this day, some people don't know Tama Tonga was a original member of Bullet Club. Who was the first leader of Bullet Club? Finn Balor. Finn Balor, Carl Anderson, Bad Luck Fale, and Tama Tonga. First four members of Bullet Club. I dare you to tell me I'm wrong. I like Bullet Club shit. Yeah, so when you think about it, like, oh shit. And if you think about it now, besides Fale, those three original members of Bullet Club are in WWE now. It's not to say Fale won't leave the post, because Fale is a very integral part of, I believe he's still Bullet Club, as far as I know. Gabriel Kidd will tell you otherwise. But I love that boy. But this is beautiful. Tongaloa, Tama Tonga, Grills of Destiny in WWE, part of the Bloodline. We're waiting on Jacob and waiting in the wings. And plus, the street fight was absolutely fucking awesome. The Brainbuster chair spot, Randy Orton hitting his shit in, you know. And Bloodline winning made sense. Okay? Let's keep it pimping. We'll keep it moving on now. The Triple Threat Ladies match for the WWE Women's Championship. Shortest match of the night. Did what it needed to do exactly. Tiffany Stratton was not a factor in the decision. How the fuck we just did a Stratton's prettiest moonsault ever, then gets caught in a 1D. I'm surprised it didn't. How the fuck? Michael Cole, let me air some out with you, Pippen. You know the 1D better than anyone on this planet. You've never been hit for it, but you know the 1D when you see it. And this motherfucker had the nerve to actually say out loud it was a double neck breaker. Boy, if you don't shut the fuck up and call it for what it is, it's a 1D. Even Bully Ray on Twitter said it as such. That is a 3. That is a 3D from Naomi and Bayley. And he shit on Michael Cole for it, as he should have. Considering the fact that that's him and brother, you know, Devon's move. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he had every right to be like, bitch, this is the one, this is a 3D, shut the fuck up. Like, you know what I'm saying? But no, like, that was a nice little 1D action. The match itself, you know, not bad, you know, for a triple threat. It did what it needed to do. This was one of those matches where it's like, you knew Bayley wasn't losing the championship. It was just a matter of who she was going to pin for the title. And obviously, she wasn't going to pin Stratton. We knew it was going to be Naomi. Of course, Naomi went for La Magistral, and then Bayley reversed it into a nice little pin to retain. Naomi was just like, ah, you got me. She understood. She knew the assignment. She's like, okay, you caught me on that one. You know, no animosity, no hate, one hug, let her come into the ring, raise the hand in victory, let her walk off, let Bayley have her moment in the sun. Good match. I think, personally, her and Tiffany Stratton are going to have a little bit of a feud. I don't expect them to have one at King and Queen of the Ring, but I would expect it possibly at Clash of the Castle in June. I think that would be a proper time to have that match take place as we head into the summer months. Of course, we got Money in the Bank in July, and then we got SummerSlam, you know, there. So I don't see that happening at SummerSlam, but I do see Tiffany Stratton possibly getting a title shot within between June and August. I believe that will definitely make sense. Clash of the Castle, I think, would be the most you know, understandable one, but we will see. I didn't want to go too much into it because it was the shortest match of the night, but the crowd was apeshit for Bayley. They actually went apeshit for Naomi. for her entrance. Tiffany Stratton got a lot of love there too. Again, this crowd did not let the fuck up. They did not let up for a single second. Not even in my head, I'm just like, their voice is going to be so tomorrow morning. But they treated this like a legit soccer match. Yeah, I said soccer. Say something. I know it's football, but we got... See, football, you know, in the States, you know, soccer in the States is kind of like the we got football at home type of thing that your mom used to say back in the day. Like, I want McDonald's. We got McDonald's at home. Cat. No, damn well, we ain't got no McDonald's. I enjoy my mom's meatloaf. All right, assuming. Damian Priest, Jey Uso. Man. Jey Uso's entrance was basically Bad Bunny's entrance this year. Crowd went, like, when Bad Bunny came out, you already knew what time it was. And then we had Jey Uso come out. Boy, man, Jey must have been like, he even said it on his Instagram, man, like, yo, the Fireflies were out tonight. Thank you. One time for Bray. Like, that's beautiful. To A, show love for Bray, and for the crowd in Lyon to be behind Jey like that. That's crazy. That's crazy to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was probably one of the best moments of the night. The match with Damian Priest was actually much better than I thought it was going to be. The main story behind the matchup was, of course, Damian Priest wants to be a true legitimized world heavyweight champion and has been telling his crew, Judgment Day, to not be involved in his matches. What do? McDonough comes out and attacks Uso behind the referee's back. Finn Balor comes out, try to interfere. He gets super kicked off the apron. Priest got Uso then went for the pin. McDonough got Priest on the bottom rope, avoiding the pin, saving the championship reign. Uso then hit McDonough with a suicide dive on the outside, speared Balor on the floor. Uso then goes up the top with an Uso splash. Priest intervened, performed the Avalanche South of Heaven chokeslam, pinned Uso to retain. After the match, McDonough and Balor attacks Uso, but Priest pulls them off, scolds them for getting involved, and was just like, dude, I'm telling y'all, let me do my thing. Let me be in my bag. So we're looking at an inevitable babyface Damian Priest somewhere down the line. Hopefully we get back the Archer of Infamy gimmick, because I love that gimmick for him. I thought it was a perfect gimmick for him coming up, which redacted. Fuck that one up too in his long list of NXT call-ups that he just destroyed in his career. But this was a solid World Heavyweight Championship match. This is kind of like the card, like, you knew it was going to be as predictable as it gets. I knew it was predictable, but we were going to get banger matches out of it, which is what I personally wanted out of the deal. I wanted just simply wonderful matches. And I got in every one of them. And we got four championship matches on the card, and all of them were fucking good. Going into the Women's Tag Team Championship match, Cargill and Belair becoming the new Women's Tag Team Champions. A, let's just get out of the way, because some of y'all going, yeah, we got some black champions in this fucking shit, okay? So y'all shut the fuck up. Now that I got that out of the way, Belair and Cargill, I said it last week on the podcast, they needed this. This is basically Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey if they actually, well, if Ronda Rousey didn't, you know, decide to leave the fucking company, and B, if, you know, they decided to book Baszler and Rousey the way they're, I hope, are about to book Belair and Cargill. Dominance. Flat out, full on, 100%, I want domination. Granted, the Kabuki Warriors are the longest reigning tag team champions in history. I expect them to break that record. I expect them to break that record. 100% flat out. I want them to break this record. Because WWE, I've said this for many moons now, since at least 2017, 2018, with the implementation of the Women's Tag Team Championships, long, prestigious reigns add credibility to the belt when you do it correctly. As most of y'all know, I'm an advocate for the women's wrestling. I'm also an advocate for tag team wrestling, so this goes hand in hand in my bag. long, prestigious reigns, dominant. I want them to, because if there's one thing WWE has gotten wrong since literally 2017 and the implementation of the Women's Tag Team Championship, they didn't know what the fuck they were doing. I did. I gave y'all chapter and verse, 2017-2018, about how you would book Bayley and Sasha Banks as tag team champions, who they would defend it against, who they would lose it to, that being Asuka and Kairi Sane, of course, but also at the same time, building up tag teams at the same time. Credible contenders, not just pussyfooting around, beating around the bush bullshit, makeshift tag team nonsense. Fuck all that. We ain't got time for that. I want legitimate tag teams in the women's division, and Belair and Cargill is one hell of a fucking start. Of course, Asuka is now out with injury and actually competed for 4 days straight with injury. Shout out one time to Asuka. You know, take care of yourself and get that recovery. Get that recovery right. Take care of you, boo boo. We will see you soon. You'll be just fine. Also, one shout out one time to Dakota Kai, one time for the one time, with that crazy, insane fucking, you know, springboard stomp off the fucking middle rope against Lyra Valkyria. That was quite nice. I quite enjoyed that. But no, this hopefully is the beginning of what they should have been doing with the women's tag team division. Now, again, a long, prestigious reign can be seen as shit if there are really no credible opponents for Belair and Cargill to face. So WWE's got a lot of work to do in that department. Now, mind you, this is Cargill's first WWE championship. This makes Belair the 9th WWE Women's Triple Crown champion in history. Never won the NXT Women's Championship, but hey, as seen by Becky Lynch, it could happen somewhere down the line. But yeah, now this is a big deal. It made sense. Belair and Cargill needed this. And to be brutally honest, pairing Belair and Cargill made all the sense in the world. Cargill's still a bit green. Not a bad thing. She showed up and showed out and did her numbers. But I think with Belair right now, it is the perfect move for WWE to pull. Because eventually, somebody gonna turn on somebody. I'm not gonna say who I think should turn on somebody. I'm gonna keep that one close to the vest for a little bit. I may have said it in a prior podcast, so if I did, you already know. If not, I ain't gonna say a word. But I have an idea of who I think should be the one to turn on one of each other. It's not who you think it is, just so you know. But let me get into the main event real quick, and then we'll do particulars, and we'll get the hell out of here. This main event, special. Absolutely special. AJ Styles winning an elimination tournament for the opportunity to become the number one contender for the title. Not even that. History was made. And this is actually very special to me, personally. Jessica Carr becomes the first female referee in history to referee a WWE World Championship main event. Now, for those of you who may not know, many moons ago, almost eight years ago to be exact, myself, Kevin Obarski, and Nick Newland were the three men of the Wrestling With Issues podcast. I believe you can still find it somewhere in America. I'm sure you can find it. I think it's still on Spotify as far as I know. But way back when, we actually did an interview with the one and only Jessica Carr, who at that time was known as Kennedy Brink. She was actually doing Wrestling in the Independence, and she was an absolute joy to talk to. She was absolutely awesome. She was actually in our intro. She actually did a spot for our introduction to our podcast, and I couldn't have been more happy for her. So when I saw Jessica Carr refereeing the main event, I was feeling a little verklempt, you know what I'm saying? I had feels, you know what I'm saying? Because I was a big fan of hers. I mean, honestly, let's be real. She was a joy to talk to. She was a great interview. It was awesome. I enjoyed that conversation we had with her. I think myself and Nick were the ones that were having the interview with her. But yeah, dude, it was awesome to talk to her. As Kennedy Brink, it was just awesome. And to see her now making history as the first female referee to be in the main event and refereeing a WWE World Championship match, full circle, dude. Huge moment for her. I could not be. And I guess she probably doesn't even remember that interview. And let's be brutally honest, I wouldn't either if I were her. But I remember that interview. I will remember that interview for the rest of my life. And knowing that Jessica Carr refereed and made history doing that, I could not be more proud of her. I'll put her as an MVP too. Honestly, let's be real. She's one of the best referees we have in the game right now. You know, her and Aubrey Edwards, killing it. Killing the game right now. I mean, Aubrey Edwards, of course, first woman to, I think she was the first referee to referee the AEW World Championship match, if I'm not mistaken, at the first ever pay-per-view. I think it was Full Gear, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember if I remember AEW history sometimes. But Aubrey Edwards doing the damn thing too, refereeing World Championship matches and being one of the head referees. And Jessica Carr now being the first female referee in a WWE Championship World title match. Beautiful moment. So, you know, for someone who actually interviewed her, you know, it was a cool moment for me to see that. So shout out one time to Jessica Carr. Like I said, you may not remember this, Jessica, but you were an awesome interview, and I could not be more proud of you. Big time. Excuse me. France showed the fuck up for this main event. And I didn't even talk about the chance they did. Simplement de. Il est vraiment phenomenal for AJ Styles. And every time phenomenal was said, that chant started up. I saw AJ Styles' Twitter a couple days ago. And he said, you know, I'm a heel. You know, I was trying to keep, you know, I had to keep it kosher. But, you know, he thanked the fans for that chant. And honestly, it couldn't have happened to a better dude. I enjoyed every last bit of it. I enjoyed every last bit of it. I could not have been more proud for AJ. I could not have been more proud for Cody. The fans, you know, chanting with Samantha Irvin for the championship matches. I thought that was pretty freaking cool. You know, of course, doing the one fall bit while she was doing the introductions was pretty cool. It was just fantastic. This was a damn good match, too. Damn near 30 minutes. Really good championship match. Of course, Cody Rhodes' first title defense ends the undisputed WWE champion. Damn good match. Damn good match from beginning to end. Very good back and a lot of good back and forth. I mean, a lot of counters to each other's signature moves. Hell, even that humongous, you know, Cody cutter off the top rope was insane. You know, after AJ Styles, of course, slammed Styles through the French announce table, that Cody cutter off the top, man, that double jump. I'm not saying it was, you know, that was Vikingo-esque, but it had a little bit of Vikingo flair to it, if you know what I'm saying. And then hits the crossroads, pins Styles to retain, and you can tell, like, how much joy he felt after getting through that first title defense. AJ Styles is no slouch. AJ Styles is no slouch, and we all know that. But this was a damn good first defense and a damn good opponent to have as your first set of defense. Of course, former Bullet Club leaders leading up to the match, you know, going for the two sweet and then getting smacked in the mouth. Should have known that was coming. Cody, come on, you knew better. But he got his one up. Man's got his lick back. Retained a championship. And the cool part is, Cody Rhodes continues on as WWE undisputed WWE champion. AJ Styles is out in the King of the Ring tournament, going up against Randy Orton. Now, by the time you hear this, the match may have already happened. So I don't know who won. Just so y'all know, I don't know who won. Okay, I'm recording this on a Thursday. Show comes on a Saturday. Okay, breaking fourth wall real quick for y'all. Okay, but let's keep it pimping. This was a you know, good show overall. Good, fantastic show overall. I am very happy with how everything went down with this show. So let's get into the particulars, because I know y'all want to know, is this the A-plus that Mr. YLP was not hoping to see? Let's get into the particulars real quick. Of course, y'all already know the MVP, the MVPs, the crowd, Lyon, France, you did that shit. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jessica Carr, also co-MVP of the show. First female referee in a World WWE World Championship main event. Yeah, that deserves some recognition. 100%. And she killed it. And she killed the main event. She absolutely did it. She did that thing. More of that, please. Ooh, excuse me. Had a little lunch a little bit earlier. Oh, damn. Ooh. Now I'm hungry. What happens when your roommate sends you pictures of food? Anyway. Anywho. So now we got the MVPs out of the way. That was kind of like super easy on that one. Best match of the night, though, is Cody versus AJ. That's not even a given. Like, that it was a damn good. For a first title defense, this was about as back and forth as you can get. And of course, the crowd went bananas for this main event. Finishing Cody Rhodes' song, by the way, may I add, thank you for that. Also, chanting for AJ Styles throughout the entire thing, as when he does his introduction for him, fucking beautiful moment. Best match of the night, without question, was the Undisputed WWE Championship, as it should have. Worst match of the night. Now, here's the crazy thing about this. This is one of those shows where I usually come out and be like, you know, I would easily have a match, worst match of the night. But again, there's times where sometimes, you know, sometimes the matches are so good. Well, not all of them were, you know, they were good. There was great. And there was Cody versus AJ in the main event. I would say, you know, Belair, Bloodline, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton was it would be my number two. I would actually put Priest, Uso at three, Belair at four, and if I had to choose a worst match of the night, which I'm not going to, it would have been the triple threat. I think the Belair and the women's tag team championship had a little bit more oomph onto it. If we have to go worst, I could say the triple threat, but it's not because it was a bad match. It was just, it's a good match that just happened to be surrounded by other really good, two really good, two great matches. We'll go with that. Fair? Fair. We already know our MVPs, which leads us to the final grade. Now, there's been a history in WWE where Backlash was better than Mania. In this case, we can safely say Backlash was not better than WrestleMania 40. We can actually put that out there. Backlash was not better than Mania. It is a damn good show. It is a damn good show. One I would not mind watching over and over again because this has so much replay value on it that it sticks, which is always a great thing. But is this the A-plus show? Is this the A-plus show that Mr. YLP never thought would happen? Never thought he would actually say out loud? Safe to say, it is not. It is a solid A show. It is a solid A for yours truly. I will say this. I wish the triple threat match in the Women's World Champion, the WWE Women's Championship, got a bit more time. Was the Tagaloa botch, the tag women's tag team championship could have been a little bit better. I mean, given you got plenty of time though, it could have been a little bit better, at least for me. Because I know there's going to be people out there saying Jade Cargill's performance was dog shit. It wasn't. And I know Jade is still coming into her own in the WWE style. But again, it's hard for me to actually give a B show the A plus it deserves, but the Lyon crowd definitely made it very hard to give it an A plus. Again, Here's the crazy thing. Because if that's an A-plus show, what do you think King and Queen of the Ring is going to be like? Which I will discount hardcore. Clash at the Castle coming up. Money in the Bank in Toronto. Bash in Berlin in September. If that is, if, and that's what I, and that's what I kind of sat on. If Backlash France is an A-plus show, that's the bar that has to be set. It's an A show, 100%. This is A. If the crowd on the own didn't bug out the way they wild out the way that they did, I promise you, this would have easily been a B plus. Two letter grades lower? Yes. Crowd mattered in this event. France showed up and showed out. This is a 100% A. Easy A. You caught the reference, you understand. This is an easy A for our WWE. Well done. Well fucking done. For a B show to feel like a big four event, it felt like a takeover to me. It felt like an NXT takeover show. And that is a beautiful, it felt like an NXT takeover show on the main roster. What the fuck was it? It felt like an NXT takeover on the main roster. And that was consensus of what I saw, was hearing on, like, and seeing on Twitter and all that shit. It felt like an NXT takeover. And I love some takeovers, and I pretty much covered damn near all of them. Well, 2018 on, but we ain't gonna talk about that. 2018 on. So I was pretty much in the midst of the golden era going into 2.0. We ball regardless. But I was watching takeovers, in 2016 and all that. So I've seen a good portion of them. I think the good, like, I think our Evolution on, I think I saw. And then I went back and actually watched the other ones. Either way, this is an A show. WWE did exactly what they needed to do for this show. They killed it. Absolutely killed it. Pleasantly pleased with this event. I'm gonna, of course, we got King and Queen of the Ring next in Jeddah, 2 weeks away from today. We then got Clash of the Castle in June, Money in the Bank in July, and then we got, of course, we go back to the States for SummerSlam in Cleveland, and then we've got Bash in Berlin in September. The international crowd. I mean, could an A plus show happen in 2024? It's possible. Anything is possible in 2024, especially on the Triple H, Paul Levesque, or as I call it, the professional wrestling era. Anything can happen. There's a lot of good shit that can come out of this. And I'm excited to see what's gonna happen. This is the first international show of five, I think. Yeah, this is the first international show of five. So five of the next six. What we had? What? Well, if you think about it, honestly, because we had Perth, we had France, we've got Jeddah, we've got Scotland, Toronto, Berlin. So we got what, five of the first eight shows of the year, eight nine shows of the year. Six to eight or nine are going to be international shows. We could get an A plus show from this year. It's possible. It only we're just gonna play it out and see what happens. But ladies and gentlemen, that's gonna conclude episode 390 of the YLP podcast. Now, usually we would take a commercial break, but I'm gonna break it down like this. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, or opinions about today's episode or any of the other 389 episodes of the YLP podcast, do not hesitate to hit me up with a voice message over at podcasters.spotify.com/ Young Lions Perspective or podcasters.spotify.com/WrestleAddictRadio. You can also hit me up a nice little email over at younglionsperspective@gmail.com. If you want to stay up to date with everything that's going on with the YLP podcast, social media wise, you can find me on Twitter at YL Perspective. You can also find me on Instagram at young_lions_perspective. And you can also follow me on TikTok at YL Perspective. Next week, we're going to be talking about the news. Of course, we're going to bring back the news of the week. We had the review this week. We're going to bring back the news of the week next week. Talking about all the news that's fit for me to talk about. And maybe a little something, something, I could cook up for you guys. Maybe a little something, something. But if you have any ideas or what you want me to talk about on next week's show, hit me up. Let me know. Let me know what's on your mind with all that good stuff. Other than that, before we get out of here, of course, I would be a dick if I didn't, of course, shout out the women in my life. That is, of course, this is Mother's Day weekend here in the States. and possibly around the world, I'm not exactly sure, but in the States, tomorrow is Mother's Day. And so I want to make sure that I give special shout outs to three important women in my life, to my grandmother Doris, my mother Kimberly, and my twin sister Brittany. Mama Grandma YLP, Mama YLP, and twin YLP. Happy Mother's Day to all of y'all. I hope you have an enjoyable day. My mom ain't doing shit, so I know she's gonna be chilling. Grandma's gonna be chilling, and my sister, I know she'll probably be get. Of course, she has three kids to take care of, so I'm sure hopefully my nephew and my nieces do right and make sure she has a special day. I just wanted to make sure I shouted out all three of them. Happy Mother's Day, Nani, Mom, and Twin. Hope you guys have a fantastic day, whatever it is you're gonna do, and just enjoy the day. So I want to make sure I got that out there, and I hope you guys are, even if your mothers aren't here anymore, celebrate the day nonetheless. Honor them, you know what I'm saying? And honor the day for them. And if they are still with you, make sure they get the love they deserve, all the flowers, all the gifts, all the good stuff. And to all the husbands out there, making sure you got Father's Day coming soon, but make sure you take care of Mother's Day, of course. Other than that, enjoy the remainder of your weekend. Have a fantastic Mother's Day weekend. Do what you got to do. Enjoy yourself. If you're gonna be going out this weekend, of course, make sure you enjoy yourself responsibly. As to all the mamas out there too, brunch, bottomless mimosas and brunch is a thing. So make sure you say, drink respons, enjoy yourself responsibly. Drink one for me as always. Make sure you take that Uber or Lyft home if you're gonna be going out this weekend. No need to have that five-figure number over your head in terms of core fees, lawyer fees, and all that stuff. Enjoy the remainder of your weekend. Have a fantastic week. And I'll see you guys right back here as we begin the road to 400 for episode 391 of the YLP podcast. See you.